And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he's looked upon the humbleness of his slave. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed." And Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the mother of the child, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that will be spoken against, and a sword will also pass through your own soul." How we honor Mary, the mother of our Lord. How God blessed her when he chose this humble, unknown maiden in Nazareth to give birth to the Christ child. And her faith immediately believed what the angel Gabriel said to her from God. Though a virgin, impossible to have a son, yet she believed it, because it would be by the Holy Spirit. And so, when she went on to visit Elizabeth, they rejoiced and she sang the beautiful Magnificat. "My soul rejoices in the Lord, and behold, all nations from now on will call me blessed." And then after the child was born, when Mary and Joseph took the Christ child to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord in the temple, as God had commanded Moses that the children of Israel should do, Simeon, being motivated by the Holy Spirit, came into the temple and recognized that child as the Messiah. He went and took the child from Mary and sung that beautiful Nunc Dimittis. And then, as he gave the child back to the mother, Mary, he said something very poignantly: "A sword will also pass through your own soul." What are we to make of that when you compare it to what Mary had said in the Magnificat? "All generations will call me blessed." A sword will pierce her own soul. Was Simeon prophetically stating from God that because of your son, you will suffer? Nothing's recorded about that. We could imagine, possibly, she suffered ridicule, especially after her son became 30 years old, after his baptism by John the Baptist, began to go all over, proclaim that he was the Son of God, the Messiah, the Son of Man, the Savior. Did she suffer ridicule from people? "Your son, what did you give to us, such a son that's going around lying?" Was she persecuted? Well, we don't know. But somehow or other, that sword passed through her own soul. Perhaps if we were to refer to Revelation chapter 12, a part of which was read before, we might help to interpret the very positive blessing and the sword in her soul, a negative thing we might say. In chapter 12, John saw in a vision from heaven a woman who was clothed with the majesty of God and Christ himself, clothed with the sun, a crown on her head with 12 stars in it. And the moon is under her feet. And she was about to give birth to a child. And the dragon, the old evil foe, Satan, knew who that child was. And he waited for it to be born, and he tried to kill it. But the child was taken to God in heaven. And then, because he couldn't destroy the child, he takes it out on the woman and her seed, causing all manner of anguish and suffering and fear and sorrow. She cries out to God in the desert where she's wandering about. God takes care of her. Even though she suffers the sword in her soul. On the surface, the woman of chapter 12 is, of course, Mother Mary. She gives birth to the Holy Child, because it says there that this child would shepherd the nation with a rod of iron. And taken to heaven, that was his ascension. However, she symbolizes and stands in for, if you will, but illustrates all the Old Testament people of God. That's why I crowned with 12 stars, the 12 tribes of Israel. She represents them, that is, she illustrates them. God's bride, God's people in the Old Testament, as they waited for the Messiah to come, like an Abraham, like a Jacob, like an Esau, like a Jeremiah, like an Isaiah, like a Zechariah, like Elizabeth, like a Simeon. And the child did come and carried out their salvation. And then the child was taken back to God in heaven, enthroned. And now the woman, Mary, but the woman represents all the New Testament people of God from the ascension up to the end, the bride of Christ, the bride whom he loves and adores. And the sword goes through your heart and mind, because individually and collectively with all of God's faithful people in Jesus, we are that woman. We are the bride of Christ. And how we long for him to come to receive us, as pictured so gloriously in Revelation chapter 19. Mary was truly blessed. How God honored this humble maid to be the mother of our Lord. However, that was not the greatest blessing by which God touched her. Her greatest blessing was that by the Holy Spirit she came to recognize this child as her Savior. And when he grew into manhood, that's my Lord, my Savior, came to rescue me, to save me from all my sins, to suffer hell in my place on the cross. That was the greatest blessing, this saving faith, because she was a sinner just like you and me. And she realized it very much so, in contrast to the Holy Child. But he came to save me. And her faith in that wonderful salvation, that is the greatest blessing God gave to her. In addition, however she suffered, because she belonged to that Holy Child, because she belonged to that Savior whom she loved and whom she put her complete trust in, because she associated with him and Christ with her, she suffered, however that was, the sword in the soul. But that suffering was also a blessing from God, because it would point people to the Savior and his suffering for them. Brothers and sisters, look how we have been blessed by God, just as much as the Virgin Mary, but in a different context, of course. God has called you and me to be his representatives, to represent this Christ child, to represent Jesus Christ as the judge and the Savior of the whole human race. Look at the honor he's given to us, that we are the heirs of the prophets and the apostles, that we represent Christ by pointing people to his death on the cross and his wonderful resurrection. What an honor, what a blessing, just as great as the blessing that God gave to the Virgin Mary, but a different purpose, a different context. A different purpose? Oh no, all towards the same purpose, isn't it? To point people to the Savior, which she actually bore. However, the honor that God has bestowed upon you, may we can be the prophets of his wonderful word and represent the Lord Christ to people as we proclaim the word. That's not the greatest blessing. Our greatest blessing, like that which was Mary's, the Holy Spirit has moved us to recognize Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our judge, as our Savior. He's led us to repentance. He's led us to see the horror of our sins, which would cast us forever in hell, a horrible thing even to think of or to try to imagine. He saved us from that. He was judged in our place. He bore the guilt of our sins, death, hell, suffering. It's all gone now. His resurrection proves it. It's all gone. His death was a victory, our victory. That's our greatest blessing, faith in him as our Savior. And also, as the sword goes through your soul and mind, collectively, individually, as we suffer afar for our Lord, however that may be, ridicule. It's no longer politically correct to say that Jesus is the only Savior, the God of the Bible is the only true God. We can be persecuted, however the sword passes through our soul. That's also a blessing through which we honor our Lord Christ, and through our mortal, dying, suffering body, by means of our faith, we point to the cross as we proclaim it to people. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we always carry about in this dying body the death of Jesus Christ and his life, so that the power that we exhibit will be quite close, not ours, but Christ's. And he says we are always living in hope. We're always being put to death, suffering, so that we can exhibit Christ's death. And then his glorious resurrection. We honor Mary. May she be an example and encouragement to you and to me. to recognize how God has blessed us. And may we, like Mary did, every day sing our own private Magnificat, our own personal Magnificat.